Let's turn in God's Word to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 17. Verses 1 through 17. Colossians 3. Verses 1 through 17. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'd like to talk to you this morning about being heavenly minded, and that we should be heavenly minded. We deal with a lot of very serious things here at the seminary, things that are in fact themselves holy, and it is easy to develop through familiarity, I wouldn't say contempt, but at least a certain facility with things that ought to be treated with great care, and perhaps a greater familiarity than we should show, and we tend at sometimes, I think, to trivialize when we ought to hold things in a very reverent and clear way. But there are other symptoms that we need to consider, things like this, that is, that we might be heavenly minded. It's not true that you can be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. And I think this passage is something of the evidence and teaching that puts that old saw to a lie. However, you know, we are, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, slated for heaven. This is our home. Where the Lord Jesus is, there we are to be. That's what he said in his earthly ministry. He made clear to us, we have it recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He went to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. Do you want to be with Jesus? Is that what your life is about? Going to be with Jesus. Very soon, we're all going to be gone. somebody else will replace us. There'll be a different president at the seminary. There'll be a different professor of missions. There may even be a different professor of systematic theology. But he may still be using a newly published three-volume systematic theology. But we are all to be replaced in short order. And I don't know how often you think about how soon you're going to be gone from this place. This is rather a temporary situation. Things move very quickly. And it is the temptation in our present world and in our present day to hold on very tenaciously to right now. I hear Christians saying on the radio and television, out there in the Christian circus that the Christian church has become, you know, live for today. Live today to the fullest. Well, there's a certain element that's true about that. The Lord has given us today. This is the only day that you have for certain. And we are called every day to live today. Not to take thought for tomorrow, Jesus said, but let tomorrow take care of itself. You've got enough trouble today. So that was meant to address us to our day from this heavenly perspective. We must be heavenly minded. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, is risen from the dead, as the scripture says, has passed through the heavens, and is seated at the right hand of God in glory. Scripture says that so many times, I was tempted. You know, this is always the temptation to bring your study desk and to, you know, spill it all over the congregation. Look at all these texts that I looked at. I looked at this text and I looked at that text. But you know, see, I did my work and I earned my keep this week. And but whether it's Jesus teaching in the New Testament when he is testifying, and as he's had that recorded for us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at his trial, he said, yes, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And of course, Paul says here, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is today. Jesus is alive. He's not merely an historical figure. He's not a figure removed from our life. Colossians 2 has reminded them they've been circumcised. They've been baptized, not just externally, but internally. They've been made alive together with Christ. 2:13, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He's disarmed rulers and authorities, put them to open shame. He's risen from the dead. But he reigns. We serve a risen Savior who's alive at the right hand of God. And he is our high priest seated in heavenly places. And we are told in the scriptures, in Ephesians 2, for instance, that though we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, now we have been seated in heavenly places with him. We've been raised up together with Christ. Speaking there about our own being begotten from above. Contribution of the Spirit from above, as John would speak about it in 1 John. And so Paul writes in Philippians 3:20 and 21 that we are citizens of heaven. We are those who have our citizenship in heaven. Why is that? Because that's where Jesus is. And we belong to him. He is in us and we are in him. And so we are told that if this is true of us, if we have been begotten from above, if we have believed, if we have been raised from the dead and are no longer those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, but are alive in the newness of life that is ours in Christ Jesus, having been begotten by the Spirit and are being sanctified by the Spirit,
if our life is now one which is lived in Christ, then we are to seek the things that are above where Christ is. We're to set our mind on things above. We are in short term, using those terms, we are to be heavenly minded. We are to be heavenly minded. Now, to seek here means to strive for, to seek to obtain, to desire with all one's heart in such a way that you pursue it. And we might read this and just think of it in terms of possessing an attitude. Seek the things that are above. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. That's how you live today. You seek first the kingdom of God. God's rule over us. Jesus rules from the right hand of God. He's the king and head of the church. And if we have the Spirit, it's because Jesus has sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If we have any desire after the things of God, it's because Jesus is at work in us. If we've been called in our effectual calling, the Spirit working by and with the Word in our hearts to faith in Christ, it's because Jesus is calling us. We have to think of the things in a very active sense. So heaven is now, heaven is ruling, heaven is gathering the church. Jesus Christ from heaven is possessing a people that are His very own, that we may join with Him in glory. Now, glory is something that's going to come to us as well. But glory is something that's now in the possession of Jesus. We ought to think of something merely future. Glory is now. It's just not here. That's why we can be told, in the words of the Apostle, seek the things that are above. Or in other places, what's invisible. Because it's not here. You'll have to be transformed in order to receive it. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about when Jesus comes with great glory. Those of you who will be alive at His coming, you will be caught up and you will be changed. Why? Because you couldn't receive Him otherwise. Even in the state that we're currently in, united to Christ, this mortal flesh cannot take upon itself immortality. We need to be changed. We shall be changed. We look forward to that. That's part of the blessed care of our Savior. He'll see to it when He comes that you can receive Him with gladness. You won't arrive on that day to be judged anew. You will be received as His, that He's transformed and made able to receive His glory and be acknowledged as the righteous in His sight. You don't arrive as the maybe wicked, you say. That's not the gospel. That has tremendous implications for a course that's coming up next semester. I won't do any further advertisement for the course, but it's on the New Perspectives on Paul. And I encourage you to take it. But fact is that our precious Savior loves us so and does everything necessary that He would conform us to Himself, and He's coming from glory so that the glory that is and to which we now belong and to which we are headed, that it will come to us and we will be included in it. And the life that's now ours, that's hidden in Him, today in glory, because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, will then be the open revelation. It will be made obvious and manifest. We will be experiencing it. And the beautiful thing that God is doing to you and in you and through you will be made clear to the praise of the glory of His grace, to His marvelous wisdom on that day. God will get all the praise and thanksgiving. And I think we'll be surprised ourselves at what He does and what He says about those things then in the vindication of His holy name. But you see, that means, Paul says, that today we have to seek heaven. What are you doing to seek heaven? We need to seek the things that are above, that are unseen, that aren't here, that the things about Christ and Christ where he is and Christ as he's doing and reigning from where he is. As he is ours and we are in him, what are you doing about heaven? Are you preparing? Are you taking on the mindset of heaven, the approach of heaven, the life of heaven? How many times do you think about dying? Some of you, it's going to be rather an increase maybe from today. But, you know, for some of us, it's constantly before us because we're a whole lot closer and we're working with things that are so much nearer. And some of you are preparing to go into the ministry. You're going to have to help people go into heaven from here. They're going to make that transition. There was a time in my ministry that I had a funeral every month for years. And one year I had... I was a killer in the pulpit. And one month I had four funerals. I had a funeral every month. At the end of that month, I buried the husband of a woman I had buried at the beginning of that month. And you sit with people and you help them make the great changes that Hodge spoke of. Heaven is real. It's not then. Everybody dies today. It's never going to be tomorrow when you die. When you die, it's today. But Paul says you need to die today anyway. And that we have already died. We've died to self. We've died to sin. We've been crucified with Christ. We've died to the world, and it's been crucified to us. And now we're alive in him. What are you going to do about heaven? It's not just for the future, you see. And so he says, you need to begin. You need to actually seek heaven, and you need to ponder it. You need to take your mind and fill it with these things. Set your minds on things that are above. To ponder, to think about, to consider. Give it prolonged thought. Focus on it. And what's going to be the result? Well, he gives a command in that light. And we may talk about putting off and putting on, but being heavenly minded is preliminary to that. That's the first thing. You see, if you've been having trouble putting off and putting on, the way to get there from here is to first be heavenly minded. It's to turn ourselves to our true destination. It's to understand where our life comes from so that we can eliminate what doesn't belong to that and take to ourselves what does. Now, putting off and putting on sounds very superficial in modern language. You know, it's something I struggled with for years until I was a missionary. Then I didn't have any trouble with it anymore because I went where people had one set of clothes that they wore all the time. Towards the end of the life of Jesus, it seems he had one set of clothes. That's not unusual for people to have only one or two sets of clothes. As late as the 1950s, there were small closets in homes. And the husband and the wife shared one closet that was maybe from here to the wall, and all their clothes and all their shoes, ladies, all their shoes wouldn't fill that closet. Things have vastly changed. We are a materialistic society. It seems very superficial to speak about things being merely laid aside, like anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene thoughts, which are things that come from the depth of a person involved in sexual immorality, impurity, passion, even evil desire, or to put on something as dress, which is compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These things sound like things that have to soak in and get deeply into us. But if we understand that, first of all, we're talking about what is characteristic of a person, what they wear all the time. some of you are older and can identify with this. Some of you maybe just feel that way because you're men. I don't know if ladies feel this way or not. But I know if there's a man with a favorite shirt or a sweatshirt or a pair of jeans, I know if my wife didn't get me up and clothe me in the morning, that's what would happen. I'd wear the same thing every day, you know. I've had a bathrobe that's older than all my children. And I have grandchildren that are now teenagers. So, you know, it's the bathrobe's older than dirt. And, you know, I always say to people, if you're older than I am, you're either ought to be in the nursing home or you're those who, by reason of strength, you know, aren't yet ready for the grave, as promised in the song. But I'll wear that bathrobe till the day I die, unless my daughter on her fourth attempt will get to burn it. She's been trying over the years to throw that out, and I always catch her before she leaves. I say, "Where's my bathrobe?" Now there are people who have never seen me in that bathrobe. There's a large number of people who have never seen me in that bathrobe. And I was asked in my last church that I served, "Do you sleep with a tie on?" That's how many people have found it impossible to conceive of me ever wearing that bathrobe. So for some people, I'm that guy that always wears a tie. And to other people, when are you going to burn that bathrobe? You see? But they're both characteristic of a person. In the ancient world, if you had one outfit, it might not last very long, but if you had one outfit, that's what you wore. Now, you might get it washed once in a while. You lay it out on a corrugated piece of stone, and somebody takes a club and beats it while they wash it and then rinse it. That's rough on a garment, you know. So you wore it until it was washed. Then it was washed a few times, and you could pretty well ruin a garment by washing it. The things that they used to gently massage the clothes, they used to club Jesus' brother, James the Just, to death with. So they were a pretty heavy instrument. And then when you were done with that, what do you do with it? Well, that's the word that's used here. You see, you discard it. You took that and you laid it aside. What do you do with the old man, the deeds of the old man? You're done with it. You need to be heavenly minded. You lay that aside. You're done with it. Are you done with this life? Are you done with the stuff of this world? See? Have you really still found yourself clinging? Are you clinging to the plastic of this world? This world is plastic gold. And it's going to all be burned up. This vast cemetery we're living in, we need to understand it. It's temporary, it's corrupt, it's going away. Then how can putting something on be permanent? Well, you need to be clothed. What does Paul say? Christ, all in all. If you're not heavenly minded, how can Christ, where he is, be your all in all? You have to put your mind where Christ is. And then you have to put on what he is. You see, you take it to yourself. What does it mean? You renounce the old man. But what do you do with that new garment that now you treasure more than that comfortable old thing that you threw away? You embrace it. It's you. It's your covering. It's who you are. And it's who you're going to be. See? It's now you and your future. Embrace being heavenly minded. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we
pray that you would give us a mind that is suitable to your reign at work in us. We would be with you, Lord Jesus, where you are. We would not be yours in name only. We would not simply accept certain concepts about you, but we would know your life in us and prepare that we might live with you. So help us to treasure that and pursue it with our whole heart, and to think realistically about these things so that we lay aside what restrains us and we take to ourselves all that you would identify us, and that we would take that as our new identity, as what we truly are inside out. Fill us, O Lord, by your Spirit and your presence, that though we do not see you, we may believe you with our whole heart and be filled with joy inexpressible and full of glory, that we might be heavenly minded and might find this process as easy as it ought to be, even as painful as it becomes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.